All right. It's the Border Patrol Fast Break. I'm Stephen St. John. He's Todd Lebo. That's Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, January 24th, 2020. Let's say hello to Jesse Newell.
Kansas!
From the Kansas City Star. Hello, Jesse. How are you?
Doing good, Stephen. How about you?
Jake said you're holding a stool over your head while you do this interview. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. It's
I saw some of you guys at Chiefs yesterday, and the jokes were made.
Right. That's exactly right.
He came walking in Wednesday out of Chiefs. I'm like, oh, Jesse, how'd you survive the battle over there?
Right. Good to see you out there. What was your reaction to the suspensions?
Yeah, I think everybody in the moment, I think that's the moment where everybody's kind of not thinking completely rationally about it because it just happens. Like for me, I was across from the KSA bench and, it's about 30 feet in front of you, and usually those things sort of de-escalate at some point. Somebody steps in with kind of a clear mind and stops it before it gets to that point. But, there was a lot of talk that night about how long the suspension would be, and then the next day, I really did think, just kind of based off of precedent, Marcus Smart, when he had his incident in Texas Tech, got 3 games, and we talked about the Cincinnati Xavier brawl a lot. Yeah, it was from a few years back. I think the most a player got in that brawl was 6 games. So I kind of thought, based off precedent, that, okay, this was a bad look, and obviously the photos of Silvio having the stool above his head is not good, and it's going to be something that circulates and is associated with Kansas and the Big 12 and college basketball. But I thought, around 6 games probably might be exactly where they land. So when it was 12, I was a little surprised just at the length of it, but I think a couple things go into play. And number one is exactly what we talked about, is just the overall image of that stool. I know Silvio didn't swing it, and I guess I've now seen a different camera angle where it does look like he dropped it before Jarrence Howard got to him, so nothing happened with it. But again, the image is out there of this sort of turning into a WWE match, and that's something that it's not a good look. It's embarrassing for a lot of different entities out there. So I think that's number one. And then number two, if you read the Big 12 suspension, the language of this, they made very clear here that the players that are suspended cannot go on the road with their team. And if you look, Silvio was suspended 12 games. 11 games from now for Kansas is the Kansas State game in Manhattan. So I have to think that the league office looked at this and said, in this game on February 29th at Bramlage, we do not want Silvio De Sosa on the sideline. We do not want him eligible to play. We do not want him anywhere near this situation because it already has been, like I said, an embarrassing scenario, and you just want to completely avoid that whole thing altogether. So it sure seems like that might have had something to do with it, something to play into it. I didn't think it would beforehand, but I think both the image of the stool and then just not wanting him to be involved in another Kansas State game, I think both of those things might have come into play.
Jesse Newell is our guest. We're talking about Kansas basketball in the Big 12 fast, or the Border Patrol Fast Break. Jesse, the bad side of this, too, is this is a black eye for the league. It doesn't look good for Kansas or Kansas State. Kansas is going to have College Game Day there this weekend. It's the SEC Big 12 Challenge. This is going to be discussed more on that. This probably won't go away for a little bit, will it?
No, and, this is it is kind of unfortunate time, if you will, but I think the good thing for Kansas is, Kansas has Bill Self, and he deals with these situations very well, and I thought he dealt with it very well in the immediate aftermath where he came forward and basically just immediately took responsibility for what Kansas did, what his players did, and promised there would be severe penalties, and that they would come the very next day. So I think he hit on all the talking points. We've actually seen this in the past with Game Day where they've had to sort of cover some uncomfortable topics with Kansas. And I think it's, ESPN sort of has experience doing this where they will probably just come out and right off the bat just say, hey, this is what happened. You probably bring Bill Self out there. You have him discuss it. You have him talk about it for 2 minutes. Again, he is well equipped to do that based off of, the type of speaker, public speaker that he has shown himself to be. And then you move on with it and you do some of the funny skits and you do the half-court shots and you kind of move on with the college basketball spectacle, which is why Game Day exists, is to kind of go out there and, interact with students, have some fun, make everyone realize again that college basketball can be a fun thing to watch, witness, observe, be a part of, those sorts of things. So, yeah, it makes it uncomfortable. It's not something I'm sure ESPN or KU would ideally want to deal with, but I think it's sort of exactly the same method that Bill Self had in his talk after afterwards, after the KU K-State game, which is you come out, you address it immediately, you talk about it, and then from there you move on, and you hope that everything can kind of go smoothly from there.
All right, Big 12 SEC Challenge, 3 o'clock tip-off right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What do you think of the matchup between Tennessee and Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a downer, obviously, from years past. I mean, this thing has featured KU Kentucky for so many years and had great battles, both an overtime game and out of field house, and then going to Rupp has you know, been some entertainment. So, and the problem for Tennessee is they were great last year, but I heard you guys talk to Greg Gurley earlier this week, and, you know, sort of like K-State before him, Tennessee, just a really good team last year and lost a lot of very, very good players from last year's team in a little bit of rebuild mode. But so for Kansas, you know, that's what's so crazy. We're talking about the brawl, we're talking about the suspension, all these things, and I'm the guy that had KU voted number one. I voted KU number one in my AP poll this week because I think on a neutral court, what the numbers would tell us is they would be favored over any team in America at this point. So this is a really, really good team on the court in a year in college basketball where you don't look up and down and say, oh my gosh, that team is the team to beat or that team is unbeatable. This Kansas team could do some great things on the court if they can kind of get all this other stuff ironed out. So I think KU, even without Dave McCormick, without Sylvia DeSosa, even with all some of these distractions, I think they'll be a double-digit favorite in this game. And it might not have the luster of some of these Big 12 SEC games of the past, but still will have some intrigue just based off of these recent events.
Jesse, thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Now we move on to talk to Matt Walters.
Kansas State.
Matt, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Okay, I asked Jesse, and I'll ask you the same thing. What's your reaction to the suspensions that were handed down after what we saw at Allen Fieldhouse?
Well, I think for the most part, you know, they're pretty fair. They're pretty accurate. There's nothing glaring. Guys that just says, boy, those are way off base. I just go back to, you know, when things unfolded and there are a number of layers to it, that's something that should have never happened. I was disappointed, like most people were, to see it happen. But, you know, what's done is done, and you've got to do what you can if you're the individuals, if you're the coaches, if you're the teams to make amends for that. But, I never thought I would see something quite like that in a K-State-KU game.
It was an ugly scene for sure, and the suspensions have been handed down. And what sort of effect is that? And obviously, one of the kids for K-State is hurt anyways, but what sort of effect will that have on the actual basketball team when they head to Alabama this week?
Well, when you talk about K-State, the only thing that really hurts is, you know, Antonio Gordon missed some games earlier in the year because he was sick. You know, I could maybe take the edge off of his progress, you know, with his suspension. But, you know, other than that, I don't know that it's going to have a great impact. It's going to give some guys some more minutes. You know, Coach Weber may have to use some rotations a little bit differently because Antonio Gordon does give K-State some size, so that takes a little bit from that angle. But, you know, it puts a little more pressure on some other guys to contribute. You know, a guy like Levi Stockard, you know, he had the great game at the Sprint Center right before Christmas, and he really hasn't had a great game since that. So he's one guy that's definitely going to have to pick up the pace for K-State.
All right, Todd mentioned the matchup. It's a 5 o'clock tip-off in Alabama, Kansas State at Alabama as part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Alabama's won 3 in a row, including a really impressive victory a couple of games ago against Auburn, where they beat him by double digits. And so what do you make of the matchup between K-State and Alabama in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, it's an interesting game. You know, for me, Kansas State has seen both ends of the spectrum now within the last week. You know, they play their best game of the season, lights out, hammering West Virginia, and then, you know, what typically seems to happen in Allen Fieldhouse takes place. So, you know, for Kansas State, I think they've got to take care of their own house right now. They've got to execute. They've really got to cut down on the senseless turnovers. You know, their turnover numbers are just way too high. And They're doing some good things. They need more guys, again, to step up, and that's what's got to happen at Alabama. I mean, it's an athletic team. You know, they always seem to be a very physical squad, and like you said, they've had some recent success, so they've got confidence, and, you know, K-State's got to go in there, and they've got to avoid falling behind, you know, by 8, 10, 12 points early. K-State's, they really need a good start tomorrow.
Hey, Matt, thank you very much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
It's Matt Walters talking about Kansas State, and again, the Big 12 SEC Challenge taking place this weekend. The other matchups, Baylor, number one Baylor, is at Florida. That's going to be a 7 o'clock tip. Of course, K-State at Alabama. Maybe the best matchup that we're going to see is Kentucky at Texas Tech. That should be a fun one. That's a 5 o'clock tip off. Number 15, Kentucky at number 18, Texas Tech. Also, TCU at Arkansas is not a bad game. Oklahoma State at Texas A&M is a bad game. Can't imagine watching that for more than 5 seconds. You know what? Hey, maybe 10 seconds. Mississippi State at Oklahoma.
Epic.
How fired up are you for this one?
So
you've had this
up.
One circled for a few minutes.
I just realized who they were playing when I looked at the schedule.
1 o'clock, that's why I said a few minutes. 1 o'clock tip-off, Mississippi State at Oklahoma. Will you head down there in the morning?
We have too much travel going on.
Right.
I'll probably catch 30 seconds or so of that on the television.
So no Lloyd Noble Center for Lebo. LSU at Texas, and both schools will wish that was a football game. You also have Iowa State at
LSU's
Auburn.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but they still wish it was a football game.
Boat race, Texas.
Do you think they would rather be at a football
Texas
game or a
LSU.
Basketball game?
Yeah. LSU is better at football and basketball than Texas.
What do you think Coach O would have to say about this game? Why you so bitch? Oh, I know that Gabe's on the phone because I could actually feel the excitement for Mizzou basketball.
To be a part of the basketball.
I touched the phone. Look at that. It's like
it shocked.
Yeah, it shocked me. It's like touching fire.
Missouri.
Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Hello there, Gabe.
What's happening, guys?
What is the excitement level of Missouri being in the Big 12 SEC Challenge?
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a big deal. It's the first time in like 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they appear to maybe be working themselves toward not being in it again next time.
Right.
But for now, it's a nice little temporary thing. You know, you get to re-stoke those old Big 12 rivalries against West Virginia, maybe TCU next time.
Oh, all the ones you've been pining for all these years.
I would just love it. Right now, Mizzou, they have found a way to start off 1-5 in the conference. And, you know, it's one of those things where if they just would have been terrible the entire season, but it's been up and down. You know, you got some hope with the way they played at Xavier. And then they doused all the flames with the cold water at Sprint Center. They were terrible there. But then they went at Temple, and they looked so good beating Illinois. And then you start to maybe, okay, all right. And then they have just laid an egg.
But
save,
somehow killed,
you know,
Florida.
Except for the Florida blowout. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's how close are the wheels to coming off? Like, what's going on?
Well, the good news for you, Stephen, is I don't really think there's any need to have a whole lot of hope anymore after the A&M game.
So they're off the bubble right now is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think that was – it had happened before, but, like, you could make up some path in your mind where, hey, the schedule's getting easier and they could win some games and all that. You lose at home to Texas A&M. That was – you know, I had some people say that was a must-win game. Well, no, because, like, for what? I mean, what are you playing? Even if you win that game, what are you playing for? But that was the one where when you lost it, you just said, yeah, the idea that this team is going to play for anything important this season, that needs to go out the window. I mean, you know, we're now at the point where we're talking about, can they make the NIT?
Wow.
All right, you'd like to choose your own adventure books when you're a kid, Gabe?
I did.
I loved them. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. Would you rather me ask you another question about Missouri basketball, or let's talk about Patrick Mahomes
you
for
know,
a second.
Mr. Smartass over here.
This is not even a question, right?
That is awesome.
So let's talk about the Chiefs.
What did it mean to you? What did it mean? I love hearing these words. Like, what did it mean to you when you finally realized that the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl?
You know, a friend sent me a picture of them, like, painting Chiefs in the end zone. I still kind of expect them to just, at the last minute, send the Patriots instead. because it doesn't really seem like a real thing. But this was the first year that I actually went into the playoffs and said, I actually think they should go. You know, it will be disappointing. I was just Joe Waljasper wrote on our site, and he's been a Chiefs fan since he was born, like a few months after the last Super Bowl, and he's been a Chiefs fan. He wrote a column about it this morning on there. So I think everybody kind of feels the same way. But until last Sunday, I think the happiest I've been as a Chiefs fan was when Keith Cash threw the football at the Buddy Ryan banner.
Right.
I was like a junior or senior in high school, and then the next time I was happy, I guess, was Sunday. So, you know, it had only been, 26 years?
What about 2017 when they actually drafted a quarterback in the first round? That's a pretty big deal.
Except the odd thing is, I was actually unhappy with that. I was very unhappy.
Of course you were.
Did you drive to Omaha? Did you drive to Omaha and watch the game with your son?
No, I'm doing that for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
We've got a room, and we're going to meet up there halfway between. No, I've watched the last couple at home and might have had a beer to celebrate.
So and a pizza, right?
And a pizza, yeah.
Gabe, you're in Columbia, right? That's right in the middle of the state. And there, you know, back in the day when it was like Cardinals and Royals, you know, Columbia was divided down the middle. The Rams are gone, right? And the Chiefs, they're trying to expand the kingdom across the other side of the state. What's the feel in Columbia now? You seeing Chiefs flags? I know there's a lot of kids, obviously, from Kansas City to go to school down there, but is Columbia right square in the middle of Chiefs Kingdom? I mean, you feeling a lot of Super Bowl love down there?
Yeah, I mean, Columbia's never really been what you would call down the middle or divided. It's always been a Cardinals town and a Chiefs town. I mean, like a lot of this state is, because those are the two franchises that have been around longer. And you know, the Cardinals are Missouri's team outside of probably a little 30 or 40 mile radius around Kansas City. And I think the Chiefs are that way in football, other than the St. Louis people. And, you know, there are some St. Louis people now who say, yeah, the Rams are gone, so, like, I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I'll cheer for the Chiefs. But for the most part, I think most St. Louis people have just kind of quit watching the NFL, which I understand. I mean, I would, if the Royals moved, I wouldn't watch baseball. I wouldn't, like, just automatically become a fan of another team. I don't think that's something you could do. But I think Columbia has always been a Chiefs town. It was when I went to school here, and it is certainly much more than anything else.
All right. Before we let you go, back to basketball, as Lebo says. I'm such a smart. What do you like about this matchup for Mizzou against West Virginia?
For real?
Yeah. No. What?
No, I mean,
the answer to that is Patrick Mahomes.
What were you actually going to say?
That is awesome.
What were you going to say?
No, I don't like anything about that. I mean, West Virginia is a top 15 team, and Missouri just lost at home to Texas A&M.
You like Bob Huggins? I mean, that's going to be a fun press conference, won't it?
I love Bob Huggins.
Okay.
Here's what I actually like about every Missouri matchup the rest of the year. I hold out hope, because I've now seen it happen, that a player might pick up a chair and use it as a weapon in a fight. That is now what I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
Now listen, so you're going to have to write about this game. We have a clip of Bob Huggins.
No, I'm not.
This was we want you to.
You're not the boss of him. He doesn't have to write
told,
about this
I was
game.
Told 2,000 words immediately after the game, and so Bob Huggins, after his team played Kansas State, he spoke in his press conference, and there was a noise that came out of him that we have been unable to identify. Listen to this and tell me what noise you think this was that Bob Huggins made.
We got a bunch of young guys, and we're trying to play a bunch of guys. And
what do you think that was?
I don't think I'm going to be any help on this one.
Try it again. One more. Play the whole clip again. One more time, and then we'll let you go. Here.
We got a bunch of young guys, and we're trying to play a bunch of guys.
It's like the Predator. Remember the Predator would make that noise?
That was definitely a growl. There's no question.
It's been amplified. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that.
No.
But it's
been amplified in my heart. Thank you. All right, Gabe. Enjoy Mizzou, West Virginia, man.
Bye.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. That's Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. We need some coffee after that segment. get myself right again.
I think he enjoyed talking about the Chiefs.
Did he?
Why'd you bring it back and make him
Because I wanted to play that clip.
Yes.
Okay, I had to introduce that clip. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.